You know, you start to build those communities that are just treasured and sacred places that you want to be born in, live all your life, and die in.
Well, that's my guest today. That's Fred Kent. And we talk about place making on the show today. So placemaking, it doesn't just happen by accident. Well, I suppose maybe it does, but, well, maybe where are you planning your next vacation? For many of us, we want to visit places with great pedestrian or bicycle facilities. What is it about these glamour destinations that compels us? Is there a science to creating such places? And if so, how might we channel that science to improve the quality of our own communities back at home? Well, Fred knows how to do that. I have to admit, I'm a little jealous. You may be too, as you listen to him speak of his trip coming up next week, where he's going to be in Stockholm, and he's already rented a bicycle for 5 days, and his description of the place, well, I don't want to spoil it. I'll say little else. So as I get started with Fred, like with every guest, there are technical issues to resolve, right? I want a good quality interview. And so what I have to do is watch the audio meters as an interview gets started. I keep asking the same question. It tends to generate a long answer, and I can watch the meters move. And sometimes, though, it often happens, the interview just starts.
Tell me where you went to high school, Fred.
Here we are with Fred Kent.
I went to a school in Massachusetts, North Andover, Massachusetts, that is called Brooks School. Mm-hmm. It was a day school when I started, and after a few years, my parents moved away, and I became a boarding student.
Oh, how nice, yeah. I grew up in Massachusetts. I went to Keith Academy in Lowell, Massachusetts.
Ah, well, I was in North Andover, yeah. So we were an hour apart.
Oh,
no,
yeah.
20 minutes apart.
20 minutes apart, exactly, yeah.
We were in Lowell not too long ago in Lawrence. Lawrence is an amazing place with the canals and the old mill buildings.
Not like it was when you and I were in high school.
No, right.
Yeah.
But it's coming back.
I'm delighted to have you on the show today. Thanks for joining me.
It's a delight. It really is wonderful, especially since we met.
That's right. We met in Long Beach. I think it was in January. What were you doing out here in Long Beach in January, Fred?
Oh, well, I was in Pasadena.
That's right.
I was talking to a group that were doing a cultural area there that they wanted us to look at and talk about. And then we were in Riverside, where they also want us to do the same thing there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's a pleasure being out there and going back to Long Beach, because we had worked down in, in the southern part of Long Beach. There's a village a long time ago. Seal Beach is just beyond it.
Belmont Shore or
Belmont
Naples.
Belmont Shore, right. Yeah. We worked in Belmont Shore, and we tried to slow the traffic down and get it to be more walkable and bikeable right in the stretch where all the commercial activity is. So we've had a long history in that area. And then, going down to your neck of the woods, there's the greeter, the town greeter that we marveled at one time when we were down there in your town.
Beach, yeah, yeah. And Fred, now that you're stimulating my memory of the day, I believe you were off to Silicon Valley that evening. Do you remember where you were headed?
Yeah, no, we were working at Stanford, and we're working in Los Altos. In Stanford, we're working at the hospital and Stanford University, the business school, and trying to transition Stanford into not just a bike-friendly place, but also a place-friendly place. It's interesting. Stanford, the designers there don't really like a lot of activity to be shown, so they put all the good eating facilities underground.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. But they're breaking out of that kind of look-but-don't-touch mentality to you know, putting it all together into these kind of wonderful, sort of wonderfully chaotic, dynamic places where people are gathering and walking together and biking there.
Mm-hmm. Well, Fred, let's for my audience here, let's tie this up in a bonnet. Okay. Pasadena, Long Beach, Los Altos, Stanford University, you're in the business of placemaking. Describe your business, Fred, please.
Placemaking is the most wonderful activity anyone could ever be involved in. It is so wonderfully refreshing because we know without any hesitation that all we have to do is work through people in a community to find out what gives them happiness, pleasure, sustenance, sense of place, a sense of ownership, a sense of well-being, health, all those qualities that everyone wants. The idea of creating place allows that to happen. It's not a professional term. It's a sacred community process that somehow we've discovered over time that is just so rewarding to people because they determine their outcomes. They determine what it is they'd like to do, and they take charge. So when it comes back to the biking and walking agenda, what we're doing is setting it up for people in communities to take charge of their public spaces, and that means streets. And to transition away from the domination of automobiles, the silos of traffic engineers that just drive more traffic through a given place because that's their agenda, to creating places that people want to live in, they want to be in, they don't want to leave, reduces the amount of driving that people do, more walking, more biking, and you know, you start to build those communities that are just treasured and sacred places that you want to be born in, live all your life, and die in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I write, of course, the blog that will accompany this interview, Fred. From time to time, I hear my critics, they'll say, that's all very well and good, but I've got to drive to get to work. That's a common critique, isn't it? That all lends itself to the automobile's been dominant in placemaking for so long. There's a transition afoot. It starts with a new way of thinking, I guess, Fred, huh?
Yeah, it's so wonderful because as soon as you get released from the idea that the car is everything to you and you gradually transition to the car means very little to you, you start using other ways of living your life, including spending much more time in your community and treasuring what you have or helping to create what you need to make that community function. Mm-hmm. And it's always about friendly spaces where you can have affection and pleasure and people are smiling, and it's about walking and biking. Mm-hmm. It's all woven together. It's so naturally intuitive that we know that we all share the same outcomes, whether you're an avid bicyclist or an avid walker or just an avid playground user.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We all want the same thing. And so that's why this conference that we're all doing together in Long Beach in September is such a big shift away from isolating the bike and walking people to integrating them into the broader community life and happiness that we all know happens when we create environments that are good places.
Fred, what you're talking about there is the Pro Walk Pro Bike Conference in Long Beach. That's September 10th through 13th. I'll have links in the show notes, so come to the website and you'll find links on how to register and participate in Pro Walk Pro Bike.
Yeah, and we added the phrase Pro Place with a kind of colon after Pro Walk Pro Bike, colon Pro Place, so that we start to link all of this together. Mm-hmm. And then when you layer in the things about healthy communities, just the immense pleasure of biking and walking in wonderful environments that are good places, it all totally comes together. And there's no better group in the world of change agents than bike advocates, bicycle nuts. We think the best people in the world are what we call zealous nuts.
I remember you talking about that, Fred, and I believe I titled the post when you were here. I took your picture and called it Zealous Nuts. That's a term I think many of my pals don't feel offended by.
No, and you see, that's the that's what's so wonderful about the term, is people say, zealous nut, that sounds pretty hard. No, it's actually when you realize that a zealous nut is someone who goes way beyond their own capacity to do something. They realize that there's something much more important than themselves. It's not about themselves. It's about something much bigger. And that if they are passionate about it, and then other people join in, you get this transformative opportunity for change, change. And that's what we're all looking for. So the zealous nuts are the highest badge of honor. You know, it's not like you get a gold medal or something. A zealous nut is something to be truly proud of. And if you're not one, become one.
I've been called a lot worse, Fred.
There's not much better.
That's right. Word gets back to me. I hear what.
Right. Yeah.
Now, so if, let's say, somebody's listening and they're thinking of starting up, like in my town, is a bike safety committee or a complete streets citizens community kind of committee, you'd want to attract, not avoid, some of those zealous nuts that are already out there in your community. They'll help.
Yeah. I mean, the word, you know, both of those are shooting for narrower outcomes than the idea of placemaking, or what we call streets as places, because we're looking more holistically at how a street needs to be repositioned as a place that's public. In other words, we see streets as public spaces, and when they're public spaces, they're meant to be for everyone. And then that starts to put in perspective the role that the automobile plays in that space, because it's only one of the users. And it goes, and the space goes from building to building, even inside the building. So the publicness of a street can have an enormous influence on the whole area, from inside the building across the street to inside the building, and creating great corners, not for cars to go through, but people to come to and be in, is a turning everything upside down to get it right side up. Whenever you see a corner, think of it as a square, because that then puts that corner into the public realm rather than into the traffic realm. And you can downsize or right size or modify the role of vehicle plays and enhance enormously the pedestrian, bicycle user, the people public using the public space. You can enhance that enormously. So corners are where you start. And that's the hardest part, because that's where the traffic engineer controls the outcomes more than any other place. And that's where we need to change that.
Now, Fred, I can imagine heads starting to nod as people listen. But perhaps we should take a step in the direction of establishing your credentials. Where do we start? On your website, you've got places like Boston Market and Times Square. What did you have to do with those places?
Oh, well, we've done a big plan for a major public market in Boston. We did the original concept for the Times Square, for taking the traffic off of Times Square. But we've worked in 42 countries, 3,000 communities, all 50 states, on all kinds of issues, but always getting back to that place that people can feel good and happy and fulfilled in. It always gets back to that wherever we go. And we have the most interesting work. We're working in the most interesting cities on the most challenging projects. And whenever you start focusing on place, people then have to come to that as their agenda, whether they're a traffic engineer, an architect, a planner, you know, whoever it is has got to come to that agenda, because it's a place-creating agenda or a place-based approach to planning, to the development of a community and a neighborhood. And that's the paradigm shift from the silos that have defined outcomes for 40 or 50 years back to common sense that we all have. We just don't know how valuable that common sense is, because in the past it has never been allowed to surface, because that doesn't fit into the disciplines that are determining outcomes for our cities.
Mm-hmm. And when you mention silos, I'm starting to see myself in a silo as a bike advocate, taking it up to the next level, like you're saying, in placemaking, right. Streets as places. I'm getting the message.
You know, it's so exciting because, you know, there's no more passionate group of people than the bicycle people because they've been so repressed and so
that's right.
not
we
listened
are.
To
exactly.
And ignored.
Exactly.
But when you take on placemaking for communities, you become part of the driving force for change. Part of the driving force for change because your partners are all want the same outcomes.
And I can picture as you describe that other pedestrians and other constituents in the community come forward and you represent a larger, you know, political influence. Yeah.
Right. And the best thing in Long Beach are the women on bikes, you know, wearing normal clothes, biking with their kids. That's a pretty powerful message that, We've got to get back to those are the we cherish those lives, the happiness of those people, the safety of those people.
Now you're not just making a reference to women there. I know you're thinking of Melissa Ballmer and her website,
Wow.
Women on Bikes.
Great, right? But you know, as a 69-year-old, I have never had more pleasure than just riding a bike in communities where they respect the bike rider.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that more than walking. I see more area. I can stop and look at things. I can go slow. I can go faster. I love to go to cities where I can bike. Next week I'll be in Stockholm. And we get bikes there for 5 days, and we'll just bike all over the city. And it is just I just feel good even thinking about it.
Oh, boy. That sounds like fun.
Yeah. So that's the pleasure of biking is such an instinct or something that you just feel like you feel so good when you're on a bike. That's the way I feel. And I don't ride fast. I ride for great enjoyment and seeing things. And just I just find my whole body just feels good.
Fred, when you speak of not riding fast, I can relate to that. I'm not really a former athlete taken to bicycles. I'm enjoying integrated into my lifestyle.
Yeah, that's right. Right.
And that's
and then walking, but then being in these special places where you come into it, your whole body relaxes and you just become open for engagement and your pores open, your senses open, your whole persona becomes natural and you almost become an organic part of a place, because you're not challenging it, you're not pushing it, you're not aggressive, that a car comes into and it sort of puts its body in front of you and says, get out of the way. And what the being on a bike and walking into a place, you know, it's just such a different feeling and people love it. And so many people don't get that, and that's what's such a tragedy. And that's why we've got to find ways to just open people's eyes to the reality of what they've been stuck with for so long.
Yes, I can picture what you're saying. You have to show people what they've been missing.
Yeah.
Now,
right.
Fred, when you were here in January, you spoke quite eloquently about Granville Island in Vancouver. There's a cement plant on the Granville Island. So how can you turn that into one of these desirable places with a cement plant of all
well,
things?
Well, you know, there are probably 20 cement trucks and probably a quarter of them have on them as they go rotating through the city of Vancouver. They have strawberries and other fresh fruit. And so you're seeing, I mean, it's a great advertising ploy, but you're seeing these cement trucks with fruits and vegetables in Granville Island on them all over Vancouver. And so they've created this unique partnership. But even better, at the entranceway where they are, and they occupy a fairly big space, but instead of having this sort of long fence, they actually commissioned an artist to do one of those ball pieces of art where a ball goes on all these racks and pathways and eventually comes down to the bottom. And it's about the whole idea of making cement, and it recreates that experience. So these kids come up there, and behind them are all these cement trucks, some with Granville Island on it. And they watch this ball come down to rest at the bottom and then be cycled back up again. So it's just part of the experience, and they become part of the larger experience of Granville Island. So what it says is that everything is possible to be there and share, but you have to be part of sharing that whole place, and you have to share yourself with that in a way that you add to that place.
Now, Granville Island is, for those that haven't visited, is kind of like a permanent farmer's market where it happens only once a week in my neighborhood. Would that be one way to describe it?
Well, it's the biggest destination in Canada.
Oh, jeez.
Next to Niagara Falls. But the wonderful thing about it is that the people who come are largely locals. And the tourists come as an added benefit. But it's really a place that is owned by the locals, and that makes it even more interesting for tourists to come because they realize that they're in a place that's a sacred place for that community. So they respect it, you know, as well. So
in the past 50 years, it's been a mall that is created to try and duplicate, I suppose, an experience like that. But they often, well, that's why Granville Island's so famous and we're going on and on about it. There's something quite different in a place like that. How would you go about describing what's different there versus a mall, say, in...
There are no chains.
There are no chains, yeah.
None. But the island is, it's obviously got water surrounding it. So they have all these maritime uses on part of it. They have this market and this market district. And you may be eating in one building, and in the back of that same building may be some kind of cultural activity going on. So everything there's no sort of one-dimensional aspect to it. It's about chaos, it's about entertainment, it's about connecting with people. There's streets, there are no sidewalks, you walk in the street. The cement truck might be behind you as you're walking along, but it's walking at your rate because that's the rate, that's the speed limit on the island. It's one of those places that you can get to by ferry. So
that's right, too. That's how I get there. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just one of the friendliest places. And I have to tell you, for those people who are health nuts, that this is not the place to go, at least not in part. There's a lot of really good healthy food there, but there's this one place where they sell pies and blueberry pie, and they're just to die for. And with ice cream, there's nothing better. There's only one other place in New Hampshire that has better blueberry pies, and I understand they're not so good anymore. So, you know, that's one of the problems. But then you go biking and walking and running all around there because it's flat and it's just a beautiful place to be in. So you can lose that weight, you know, in a couple of days easily.
So mixed use is what I hear you saying.
Well,
about...
we call it multi-use.
Multi-use. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we call them multi-use public destinations because the emphasis is on the public and multi-use. Mixed use often means putting retail putting residential above retail, and they call that mixed use. That doesn't do much. But when you call it multi-use public destinations, that means that you might have a post office and a nursery school and 100 different kinds of uses that are all part of that sort of multi-use destinations. It might be a religious institution, or maybe there's a religious institution that uses an auditorium. So all these things become much more complex and much more enticing than just the one-dimensional standalone building with a parking lot or mixed use, which is, you know, residential and retail. That's not dimension. That doesn't have enough dimensions to it. It's not broad enough. It's not engaging enough. It's not public enough.
So human beings like all of that, like chaos thrown together.
Yeah,
huh?
Right. Yeah. But it's the same if you love nature. You don't like going into a place where there's only one kind of grasses or something. You want to go into a complex natural setting where all kinds of animals and birds.
Good point.
Nature, you know, those are where we enjoy the most. You know, you get taken in by the by the atmosphere and lose yourself in nature as you do in a great market. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of sort of comparable feelings. And what a lot of people try to do is they try to one-dimensionalize your life so that it's not too complex, it's kind of controlled, it doesn't feel good. You want to go to the doctor a lot. You know, you can start building a whole agenda around disease and illness when you get, you lose control, you lose the spontaneity, you lose the happiness that makes you want to be alive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So these are very broad issues. And as the bike community realizes the return of broadening their participation with other people in a community, that they can have a very, very powerful voice in changing their communities.
Mm-hmm. Now, Fred, I remember again from the time we spent together in Long Beach that day, I think you kind of set this concept up as, in a time of diminished capabilities or diminished finances, your concept of lighter, quicker, cheaper. How do cities go about? How do they get started?
Well, you know, we've set up such systems of development and planning and design that take years and years. And we have long had this term. We started with the petunias. And then we heard this phrase from this friend in London who uses lighter, quicker, cheaper, where he will do something in 3 months to create a multi-use destination that can just knock your socks off in terms of the diversity of uses and culture and people and pleasure that goes on. And he's done one here in Brooklyn and called the DeKalb Market. And I went there with some Dutch friends, and we were going to just go visit it, and they were still there 4 hours later because it was so much pleasure. In New York, it was the most pleasurable place they had been to in New York.
Oh, wow.
So because it was a lighter, quicker, cheaper, it was in containers, and nothing was high design, but it was high design in the sense that it had so much energy to it that it kind of displaced so many other places in people's minds as good ones.
Well, it sounds like that's got to be encouraging when people hear you describe that, Fred, huh? That it doesn't take you don't have to rob a bank necessarily to achieve some of these goals.
No. And what happens is the professionals, we have this phrase, is each discipline has become its own audience.
Mm-hmm.
So what they do is they go and have their meetings and they figure out what they want to do to impact the communities they're working in. And they might say to serve the communities, but in a sense, they're really serving the communities based on their discipline's objectives. So we try to get rid of that. And we say that the community is the expert. You're creating a place, not just a design. You can't do it alone. These are some principles that we've come up with. And the lighter, quicker, cheaper is the way to begin to experiment and move towards solutions that the community cherishes. And by doing it in a short period of time, you're now in sync with the timing that communities expect, not the timing that the professionals expect.
Mm-hmm.
So then you take this whole idea and you say, wait a minute, government is not set up to do this. They're set up through the silos. Maybe we can change government. And some cities and states and countries are beginning to change the way they govern to be place-based rather than discipline or silo-based.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole movement, this enormous transition away from the last 40 or 50 years, what we say is we need to turn everything upside down to get it right side up. And then we use the phrase to go from inadequate to extraordinary, because we have to live in places that are extraordinary because that's what sustains us.
Mm-hmm.
So
as I listen to you, Fred, I can picture how you have gotten involved in so many of these substantial projects. This resonates nicely as I listen to you.
Well, it's natural. It's comfortable. It's common sense. It's not.
Yeah.
The genius is in the community already. We just have to find it. There's another quote, which I love here. I'll read it to you. Is leaders are visionaries with a poorly developed sense of fear and no concept of the odds against them. They make the impossible happen. And I think that's what we're looking at for the biking community and the walking community to become leaders in their neighborhoods and communities. And that's why we've sort of added this whole placemaking element to the pro walk, pro bike agenda in Long Beach. And I think that's, it's very powerful what can happen and how we can all go out from that conference, kind of renewed around bigger possibilities than we thought were possible before.
Fred, maybe as we wrapping up in the next couple of minutes, could I walk you into what you call the power of 10? Let me see if I can set this up. I know it's a big subject, but
it's a wonderful thing.
In Newport Beach, for example, here we have a opportunity in terms of place. We're building a brand new city hall on the other side of town, which, of course, when you build a new city hall, that leaves you with an old city hall. And I keep thinking of some of the principles you've described with the power of 10. For example, you wouldn't just zero in on the single topic of what to do with the old city hall. How does the power of 10 apply to a concept like I'm describing?
Well, a town like yours needs 10 places, and each place needs 10 things to do. So if you take an old building like the city hall or a new building like the new city hall, what are the 10 activities that you would be doing within that complex and outside the complex? You may have 20 or 30. We were working in a cultural district in Perth, Australia, and we started out with 7 destinations, each with 10 things to do, and we got up to 42, and there are probably about 7 buildings. So each building has many, many ways of becoming alive, of things to do in them. And that's what should happen with any building. You turn them inside out. It's no longer a building. You say, oh, we're doing a new city hall building. I would say creating a city hall place or a complex of public uses or something, but not the word building, because the building has a connotation of it being kind of a fixed
destination. Single purpose destination.
Mm-hmm. And city hall rather than, you know, one of the best places I've ever been is a couple of places. One was in Australia and one was up in Vermont. And we were going to do a workshop in both of these cities. And both of the workshops took place in the city hall. And the city hall was a council chamber for part of the day, and then a performance place for another part of the day. So, you know, what these multi-use facilities become. And so what you have is your cultural activities and the council activities all going on throughout a day, and they're all woven together, and people who are part of the school will see the counselors and so on, and then they're not isolated off in the middle of nowhere. And maybe one other thing, I can never forget this. We were in the Czech Republic and we were taking a tour of people. And what happened was we came out in the morning, early morning, and we went into town, and there were 3 buildings. And I knew one was a city hall. It was kind of a grungy looking building. And then the other one was a bank. And the building in the middle was the most glamorous, beautiful building in the whole city. And we walked out. It was too early for anything to happen. And we came back, and all these kids were outside this beautiful building in the high school, next to the city hall, next to the bank. Imagine going to school and being in a setting like that.
Yeah. Well, Fred, you tell some great stories. You'll be in Long Beach in September, too?
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah. I'm so excited about coming and being part of that community of people.
Now, what advice would you have for me? How do we reach out and bring more than just, you know, they say, singing to the choir? What suggestions do you have to lure more and varied personalities there?
See, what I think I would do is I would say, let's get a contingent of people who are interested in creating places all along the coast there, because, you know, your reach is more than just your community. But those are very special communities going down to La Jolla and San Diego. And the waterfront communities all have this kind of potential aura about them, that focusing more on places and multi-use and connections to the waterfront and being able to bike from one to another is such a great future, that whole audience should come and see how they collectively could work together to create that on your Route 1 which, you know, I love Route 1 going through your town because it's fast. You go very slow.
Fantastic views.
Yeah. And you get the views, and it's a pleasure to go slow through your town because
right.
it's such a special town. So why do you have to go fast? And then south of that, you're going too fast, and you don't remember the town you're in.
Yeah.
So there's a way to kind of choreograph each town's presence on that road. So you want to drive on that road for pleasure, not just to go somewhere.
Well, Fred, thank you so much for joining me on the show today. We're talking about Pro Walk, Pro Bike, Pro Place, September 10th through 13th in Long Beach. For more information, come to the website or visit PPS.org, that stands for Project for Public Spaces, PPS.org, for more information about the conference.
Thank you. I've enjoyed this immensely. You have a wonderful way of getting to the issues that are important to communities.
Well, thank you very much, Fred. And we'll see you in Long Beach in September.
Absolutely. Great. Alrighty. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, we're back in the studio, and I'd like to say thank you to Melissa Ballmer at Women on Bike SoCal in Long Beach. She helped facilitate the introductions, setting up this time together with Fred. Thank you, Melissa. Now, in the show notes, as I mentioned a few times during the interview, come by cdmcyclist.com. Where you be able to click on the links to register for the Pro Walk, Pro Bike, Pro Place conference coming up real soon in Long Beach. I'll be there. I know a lot of bicycle advocates across the Southland will be there too. Well, that's it for today's show. Thanks so much for listening and good night.